Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I stand up, not unusually quickly, but when I stand up, I realize I feel like I am going to fall down. I am so high. If I had gone to the chair with the carton, the giant cartoon-sized carton of the goldfish, I might not have lived. I went to Costco and I bought a G-Shock yesterday. And Carla said it looked like somebody was landing a 747.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday show. Rob has a doctor's appointment, and he will not be with us because we had some scheduling conflict. So it's me and the man from Medellin.
Hello.
As he will henceforth...
Medellin.
And man, oh man, I have to tell you that I want to get right to it because this is, and look, I am fully aware, and it always works out this way, that in our first segment, we have dadgrass. All right?
Yeah.
I am not talking about dadgrass at all. Farthest thing from it. All right? Dadgrass, I have enjoyed multiple times. And you get what you expect to get.
Yeah, you get what's advertised.
And I will not give the name of the product that Carla and I, well, that Carla brought into our world. But it is a beverage, the way I understand it, with a microdosed CBD, THC type thing. I can't tell you much more than that other than to say that since she brought this into our world, and I think you were here when I talked about the munchies that I can't take my weight drug and have one or maybe two of those. But last night I just it was practice and a little stuff going on the on the family front and I just needed to mellow.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. Because it's never happened to me before. It is never, Oscar, and I mean never.
I can't wait.
Happened to me. So we go to the game, and we sit at the end of the field, and we sit next to this friend of ours, a new friend that we've made since football started. And the chairs go, this lady's there, Carla, and then me. Carla is drinking water. I, when we bust out of the house, I grab two... Count them, two cans of it. Now, I've had two before. The complaint I had was that when I had two of them, they really gave me the munchies. And that's it. Other than that, do I feel... Yes, I feel it right away when I'm doing this. So
can you stop just for a second?
Sure.
This is new to me.
All right. It's a sparkling fruit-flavored beverage.
I want to be clear. This is a drink that has THC in it.
Cannabis.
Okay. So it's a drink that's going to get you high.
But I have had it before.
Yeah.
And do you get you get mellow.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little mellow. Last night I have one of these, and the only time I really feel a difference is right at the beginning where you get that kind of moment where, and for me, it's in like the front of my head, and it kind of feels like... a little lightheaded. It's just, but it's a good lightheaded, and you're just
lightheaded
chilling
in the heat.
What's that?
In the heat, it's warm down
there.
Yeah,
it was beautiful out last.
Okay, fair enough.
Thunderstorms came through.
Yeah.
And it was great. So I sit down and I have this, and then the practice goes on. And to be perfectly honest, I love my son, but practices are tedious. They're tedious because they go to different stations and. Parents have to be on campus, but it's become the thing that Carl and I do. We hang out, and Michael likes us there, and we watch him, and you're supposed to have at least one parent there. Most of the time, Michael has two. So we're sitting there, and it's a 6 to 8, usually a two-hour practice now that we're in the season. And by the way, only, I think, a couple of more games, and the season will be over, and I'm going to miss it because it's been a really fun thing
so
to do. Yeah, really, really quick, like August, end of August, beginning of December. September through mid October.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm sitting down, and then I remember feeling this way. I remember saying, that was fine. I probably don't need one more of these, but why not? We've got another 45 minutes of practice. Why not? So I take it. It's got a, it is a jalapeno grapefruit or some flavor like that. It's got a little spice to it, but a little citrus to it as well. And it's tasty. In fact, it's such a taste, it kind of masks the flavor of the stuff that's in there. And I'm fine. And I'm cruising. And it really, I'm sitting in the little camp chair that we have. Flash forward to, and I finish the can well before practice is over. And at this point, it's getting dark, and because we are squeezing in a practice on a night we don't have it, the automatic lights are not going on. They didn't expect the kids to be out there. So it's getting really dark, and it's dark, and the coaches are squeezing every last ounce of blood out of that turnip. They're working these guys, and they're out there. And then it gets dark again, and they wrap it up, and you hear, yeah, Mustangs, and they break up, and then they're playing because they're 10-year-olds, and they like to play. They'd be out there in the dark all night long. At this point, that's the cue for us to fold up our camp chairs and get ready to roll home. And I stand up, not unusually quickly, but when I stand up, I realize I feel like I am going to fall down. I am so high. I am so high. Now, I don't know. I don't know anything about being high because I am not high. I don't do that. My preferred method of departure from reality is a cold drink, a cold beverage of some kind. I am not familiar, and for you people out there that are regular connoisseurs of this product, perhaps you could enlighten me. I always thought a couple of things, that if you get involved with this, you're functional, and you're not going to be, you're going to be A-okay, and you won't have it. Now, I didn't have a hangover in the morning. That was beautiful. But I'm going to tell you that not only did I, and Carla's talking to this lady, and I go over to Carla, I said, honey, you mind opening the car? I'm going to go wait for you guys in the car. And I am just saying, please, please, please just open the car door. She said, it's already open. I was like, okay, I'll see you later. And I start walking, and I'm walking in a way where it looked like I'm picking my feet up extra high. Yeah. So I don't trip on anything.
Like you've got big cartoon sized shoes on.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that's what I did. I drank this stuff, drank it on an empty stomach, and I was like, nee, nee, nee. And then it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. It was horrible. It really was. And I sit in the car and I just stare ahead. I'm sitting in the car like this, just going.
Didn't Carla catch you high another time? Like two weeks ago?
Time down in the Keys.
No. I'm talking about from the specific drink. Like you all went out.
The munchies.
Okay.
But that's it. But not out of control. This was, Carla had mentioned this last batch that we got. She had one the previous evening and she felt, neither one of us liked it. I love the dadgrass.
Like loopy. Kind of like you don't like bedtime. The loopy high.
I was in loopy land. And the thing that kills me is as we're driving out, this has happened now twice to me. The total, and once when I only had one, the disorientation of knowing where I am. I literally am looking ahead of me, but I'm talking everything last night. My little guy comes and gets on my lap and is talking to me about school, and I'm watching his face morph into other faces.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. And people might be saying, "Oh, you're
full." No, you're. I've been that high before, where it's you're concerned.
I was just, and the old tightness in the chest, where you're trying to get a really good pull of air and you can't. I relaxed myself because I was waiting for that to happen. This is why I wig out on the stuff, and I was waiting for that to happen, and it happened, and then. Took some really relaxed deep breaths, and then it's just like I finally get to the point where I am relaxed in my own skin. And then I can't describe. I am on medicine that prevents me from feeling tremendous hunger. Okay, if you know, if you brought a 97-pound weak private from the army and put him in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather would have been the can of this stuff. Mm. My drug would have been the 97-pound weakling, and I began to forage for anything. Protein bars, vegan bites.
Oh, my God.
And I cap it off when Carla goes to bed. Michael has one of those big carton, looks almost like a milk carton of, what the hell? See, this is
milk
it.
Milk duds?
This is no, it's a milk carton of Goldfish.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is, I am just inhaling. And I'm so high that I don't even feel sick. I would normally feel sick after eating this much food. And calorically, is it crazy food? No, it's actually probably healthy food. I've never felt, I don't want to feel that way. I don't ever want to feel like that again.
Two things. One is you're experiencing what most 16-year-olds in America that dabble with marijuana learn, that there are different degrees of high. And they either learn it the hard way by smoking too much or eating an edible and not realizing an edible is much more potent, and you, a consumable of sorts, you drink the THC.
Yeah.
And then you're like, eh.
Yeah.
I didn't just eat the batch of brownies. I wasn't enjoying it because I was so paranoid that I didn't like that feeling. You and I are the same in that vein where—
And Carla is included in
that. Yeah, I don't like feeling like I'm so high that I'm dizzy, but also don't know what's going on. Right?
First of all, the one thing I did say, and by the way, the sentences were not coming easy. They were not coming easy. I said to Carla, I really, and I'm waiting for the opportunity as we're driving back to tell Carla, who doesn't know because Michael's in the car. And I don't want to share this in front of Michael. But at one point I said to her, I couldn't do a show like this.
Mm.
And I was thinking back to people we both know in the business who could easily do shows like this.
But I think that true potheads, and
I'm tolerance.
They,
right?
No, they just have a tolerance. I think it's within their own genetic makeup that they can just deal with it,
and they enjoy
and
it,
and they're great. They're fine. I remember, and maybe I've mentioned in the past, but I'd rather not, since I'm not hammered or high, so I won't mention their name. But okay. a former NFL quarterback used to tell me candidly that he was so high in his college years that only when he was high would the game slow down, and that's when he would like really excel.
I wonder how many athletes are like that, because slowing down, you hear that with all sorts of sports. Yeah. You hear that about the great one, Wayne Gretzky, who talks about he was able to slow down the game. I wonder if he was all ginged up when he was doing that.
But some people have that chip. It's if you've ever been in a car accident, what was seconds feels like minutes when you replay it back in your mind because everything slows down.
Yeah, and I don't, and Carla said this the night before, and I said it last night. Look, I went off to dreamland in a nanosecond, and I woke up this morning, but there were no, maybe a little heavy-headed, just a tiny bit heavy-headed, but it was the way I can describe it also for me, and by I know we have people that partake that are laughing their asses off at me.
Yeah, because you're
going,
just learning about
I'm
marijuana.
I'm such a rube. But I've dabbled in the past. Yeah, I've just had bad experiences with it.
You are, I think you've gotten too much heat for your stance against what is a gateway drug, right? And as the decade has passed our show and marijuana has become legal in the majority
and
of this country.
And beneficial in so many ways.
Yes, I think you've changed your tune on it.
I mainline the dad grass and love it.
Yeah.
Never had this happen.
It's the probably the concentration of THC clearly within the can.
And it's different than the last cans we got. That's for sure.
Let me ask you this. The dosage of your weight loss drug is built, and if I'm not mistaken, because my mom takes the same drug,
Right.
It is built upon a standard and a classification that this person is not under any performance enhancing drugs or something that's going to alter their overall natural state of hunger. So when you introduce the THC beverage, your natural state of hunger changes. It's supersized.
Yeah, my natural state of hunger is a saber-toothed effing tiger, and I won't cuss, Mac. My natural state of hunger is that guy who the tape we played. I'll do anything.
Yeah, I'll do anything for food.
It was horrible. It was horrible because it was totally and completely uncontrollable. It was like eat, not satisfied. Yeah. Eat. Not satisfied. Eat. Carla goes to bed. Dark room.
Yes.
And I'm holding this tiny little bowl, and I'm holding my massive hand out on the on the big carton of Goldfish. And people that know the Goldfish carton I'm talking about, it's the big one.
Yeah, it's a family size.
And I pour the thing out, and oh my God, I swear to you, it was just That's like Carla's sleeping. She's sound asleep, and I'm going, I don't want anybody to hear this, man. Hey, man, I don't want to. I'm the dude, you know?
Yeah.
I swear to God, if there had been white Russians around, I would have poured myself a white Russian. I could have done. It was as intense an experience as I've had in my lifetime, which at this age is pretty unique to
find. Yeah, well, you're expanding your horizons. It's available.
I was there. It's not high in calorie. You feel okay the next day, but no, experiment over. I said that the last time, and then I did it again. And now I'm just going to choose. Now, Carla's probably done too, I think. But, you know, I'm gonna stay with the one that brung me.
Is this a drink you can buy at a gas station down there?
I don't believe so. She gets it online, and I don't want to promote it.
Okay.
We have an advertiser.
Yeah, and I subscribe to them.
Responsible.
Shows up every 2 weeks.
I think there's a lot of stuff out there floating around. And I don't think this product, you know, certainly for certain people, I'm sure they would have loved the experience they had. But for me, last night, and the thing that was strange, do you know enough about it to know that, do you feel that kind of dizzy? Because I didn't get that the last time I was.
Every time I've had an edible,
you get dizzy.
Well, it's unsatisfying high where I'm like, oh no,
yeah.
I thought this batch was going to be better.
That's when I stood up. That's exactly in my head right there. It was like, well, I should do the thing. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That's what happened 2 live shows ago, where I remember the team coming back and I had requested an edible. I think Shannon brought it back because she went to one of the dispensaries in Vegas.
Right.
And Shannon and Todd and Marissa, if I'm not mistaken. And it was
Sunny Days, Oscar. Remember
I know.
Those days?
It was titled The Grizzly Bear. And it was a brownie that was wrapped in a wrapper that had a grizzly bear on the cover. And because I had requested something to go to sleep that would help me aid in sleep.
Man, oh man.
And the grizzly bear put me to sleep, but then I woke up in the middle of my slumber, my hibernation,
right,
with not just an appetite, but with a sense of I was disoriented to the level of panic.
That's it. That's it. Disoriented.
Yes.
That's what it is. And by the way, I would love to be Bill Maher. I would love to be Joe Rogan. I would love to be like, you know, stoned beyond belief.
Nobody knows you're high. Hey, it's fine. Like, relax. No.
Maybe that's why Rogan always says, you know, that's an interesting theory. You know, I mean, I'd be more open-minded. He's just whacked. You know, I know one thing. It's not something I'm interested in revisiting. It does. And I think you're right. The genetic makeup of people is what you're either predisposed to that. And by the way, the people that can enjoy that feeling or
God bless you.
That God bless them. I like that. You know, I've had many friends that have done
for
years.
It's similar to drinking. There are, you know, the way we have consumed in the past and the way that we consume is not natural to most people.
Right.
It's just not. And I can speak candidly without, you know, bringing up Rob because clearly he's battling his own demons. But like even when I was in Medellin, you know, I think I said it yesterday, like I was following the lead of the group, where if it were just you and I would say, how much is that bottle of Jack Daniels? Because we're just going to destroy it, you and I, with some Diet Cokes or Pepsi, as they had.
That's high. I mean, your choice, your drink of choice is pretty high octane.
So, yes.
I mean, when you do drink, you don't need many.
I don't need many, but I would have many. Mm-hmm. And but then when they're like ordering a pisco sour and that's the one for the evening.
Yeah. Like, kind of foreign concept.
Here. Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess that was it.
Yeah. You know, and you can't, right? You can't like die. Well, we touched on it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, you can't. You know, you the space and time. I don't want to be not just the irresponsible one, but I guess we brought his little brother who's just a train wreck. Right? Like, so well, you have these optics.
You're there under the, look, this is why I could bring, this is why Charlie brings you to the Metropolitan Club. This is why I could bring you anywhere, because you are able to read the room. And, you know, it's like, and I'm able to read the room. And I've always been able to read the room. And so you don't want to, you know, be the one. There are people that can't read the room. There are people that just think anytime there's alcohol available, it's like chug-a-lug, gug-glug-glug. You know, that's what they're going to do.
But they can't handle it the way we handle it. How about this? We could have five adult beverages.
Easily.
And for them, the crew I was with, the doctors, if they had two pisco sours, they'd probably be hammer timed.
Right.
But I would have five of them and still be like, oh, where are we going next? Where are we going next?
Now,
potheads in that same vein have that power.
Where they can just be completely.
We're good.
How many people have we been around? They're stoned out of their minds. I've worked with guys on this podcast that were stoned, and I had no idea. I was completely out of touch about it, and I only found out later that they were doing
it's the tolerance.
Because they had a tolerance all the time, you know? And then there were people, even when I was aware of someone, like a bass player used to be in my band, and I looked at him out on the patio one night because he hadn't come on the bandstand, and he was out there getting high, and it just made me laugh. Because I never was really aware, and then it sort of spoke to the idea that he got confused during some of the songs. but seriously, the thing with alcohol with me, especially, I was not a person who would ingest alcohol and then stagger and slur and fall down. If you want to see a video of me when I am almost at my tolerance level, go look at the Spokane trip. There's a video of it floating around on the fan page somewhere, and it shows me at the end, and it's horrible because I look like my father when he would have too much to drink, and I hated him when he had too much to drink. Not that he was abusive or bad, but he had that kind of like, your eyes get a little narrow, and it's like, yeah, what do we have here? All right, fantastic. That sounds good. That's me. Now, the other thing is, even I was far along at that particular time, but I'm the person that could have those five drinks, and I wouldn't slur my words or stagger or anything, but it would loosen up my inhibitions about saying certain things. Especially if I didn't like somebody. That wasn't positive. That was not a real... And that got me, you know, over a period of years, that would get me, you know, it wouldn't happen all the time, but it would happen enough because I wasn't going, get out of here with the thing. I would just be driving along going, man, that is really an ugly shirt. but anyway, it didn't work.
And then
you're
like,
well,
all right, let's get going. Yeah, like you said, nothing wrong.
The feeling I had with what I experienced last night was go into a room, sit on a couch, be by yourself. It was craving. Yeah,
almost tripping.
Yeah, just don't come near me. Yeah. I don't want to deal with anybody. I don't want to speak.
I did mushrooms that one time at Virginia Tech on Halloween.
Welcome to Druggy Corner.
I wanted nothing to do. And by the way, half a sandwich, half a peanut butter, however you shroom heads do this. I was like,
what do they put it in a peanut butter
sandwich? Yeah, because apparently they taste like garbage. And I remember sitting there and I said, never again. Never effing again.
I hate the altered state.
I'm not built to be altered. Like, there's enough going on in my mind. I don't need that.
Do you ever wax enviously about the people who are You hear about
If you've taken acid, like it's
like
your
consciousness,
job.
Like a really different level of what's the stuff that
ayahuasca,
ayahuasca. Who Ron White did a great segment on Rogan's show talking about ayahuasca.
We were offered ayahuasca experience in Colombia,
in Medellin.
Yes.
Would now was it something that was
it was a more
part of the itinerary? If
no,
you wish,
it was a. It was a one of the hosts was like, if you would like to try ayahuasca, that's something we can you know facilitate, because some people, I guess the people travel down there, that's what they'll do, is like a retreat.
Costa Rica has it. I guess Medellin has it.
And
as well,
I was like, no, thank you.
Well, I've heard horrible things. Yeah. I mean, no, but I mean, I've also heard that with demons and ability, you know,
in the land of the chupacabra, I don't think so.
It would be kind of scary, I would think.
Well, I mean,
it would be kind of scary.
Medellin.
Mac, how are we doing on the feed here? Because it's kind of choppy coming to me. Is everything all right?
Everything sounds good here.
Okay.
They look great to me.
I don't see any issue.
So anyway, it's just, it's something where, yeah, the altered state is, you know, if I'm in that much of an altered state, I want to vomit. I want my body to tell me it's time to, you know, yakety yak, don't talk.
Have you ever driven a boat or been on a jet ski drunk?
Oh, yeah. I'm not proud of that. By the way, not proud of any of this.
Of course. This is in a former life.
Right. In a former life.
In a former life.
I was on a friend's boat.
When it wasn't frowned upon.
I wasn't piloting a boat. Rare would be the time that I would pilot a boat without. I wouldn't do that.
What about a wave runner or a jet ski?
Probably not, now that I really think about it. But I've been on plenty of boats where I've been that way. Lost one of my first great pairs of sunglasses on a Fountain 44, which, if you know anything about speedboats, is a 70 to 80 mile an hour speedboat. And turned to my right, and the glasses went. And they were just off my head,
gone
in the Chesapeake Bay somewhere. And I remember I was drooling; it was going so fast. And I was like, "This is really spectacular! I can't believe it." I have a lot of regrets, as you know, Oscar.
We all do.
But one of the regrets is I like worrying and being aware and being. And you might say, "What's the reason you didn't drink?" I always felt, and this diminished my positive experience, when I owned a boat, to this day, if I've got a lot of people on it, mm-hmm. I don't enjoy myself.
Boy, you're the captain.
Too responsible.
You're the captain
I'm the captain now. I feel too responsible about it, but Jesus. Last night was just curl up in a ball, but it didn't, you know, I didn't want to stay on that easy chair, because every time I'd finish whatever food I slammed into my mouth, I'd want to pop right up again. And then I think probably right before I drifted off into slumber, mm-hmm. I kind of went, right before Betty Bye.
May I ask you a heavier question? And it's not meant to slander you. I wonder this because we're having this conversation.
Right.
When I was younger, I would see my uncles and aunts like just drink heavily. And I'd always notice that my father and mother wouldn't drink. They would mm-hmm. be like maybe one. And that was it for the evening.
You're
and
fortunate.
They would still like dance and have fun. And like mm-hmm. it'd be 4 a.m. and then we'd go home. Done. I don't know like what impact that had on me, because I still drink the way I drink.
Not nearly like you used to.
Correct. But I'm saying I don't know, because then you look at the other side where you might grow up in a household where people are just drinking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have kids. I don't know how that affects them.
In the case of Catherine and Elizabeth, mm-hmm. when I was the part-time dad, a few times they probably would see me in a state where I was a little tipsy. But most of the time it was
when they drove you home. You
know, when I'd have that's the other guy. That's the other guy. Oh dear. But really, when I'd have them, you know, as the in their formative years, it would be their weekend. So that wouldn't be part of
it.
And then on the off weekends that I didn't have them, it's like, woo, woo, party time, like that. And in my mom and dad's case, mom, no. I never remember my mom being really, really tipsy. Just very rarely, if at all. My dad, however, he wouldn't get crazy angry or anything, but I would know the vibe because he was up and having one or two extra, and it was not something I dug. I didn't.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like you do that now.
I didn't like the altered state, you know. And then I grew up in the era of binging. That's like, what we did, and I think kids still do that to an extent. And it's you know, go to a football game, go to tailgating, and you see people that still binge. I don't shut the door on going out, you know, in a circumstance where I'm somewhere all day and into the evening and binging again. It's what I used to do at Jimmy's all the time, you know, and it was great fun, and I don't regret a minute of it. If you see me go out for the cigarette, though, you'll know I'm sufficiently inebriated. That's what it would be. But all of those experiences did not compare to the feeling of, I don't want to call it isolation, but the feeling of, well, it's a cliche, paranoia that I felt when it was last night. And by the time I crawled into bed, it had died down a lot. And then, you know, as it died down, I shoved food into my mouth, and that even dissipated it further. Mm-hmm. And then it was off to bed. And then I felt it this morning. You know, when I woke up, I didn't feel it in my head. I felt it in my stomach.
You felt that you had what the intake was not. No. Because the medicine should make you feel bad.
No, it really was noticeable, and you know, I don't. There are two things going on. There's a dosage shift for me over the last 2 weeks, so I'm dealing with that. Whereas it's not what it used to be, which was I had no interest. Oh. I wouldn't even think about it. But it's there. I ratcheted down to see how we're gonna do. And if you want to look at my, you know, my graph line, since I ratcheted it down, it would be like, it's not
like a Mario Brothers.
It's not good. It's not good. But at the same time, this little can of crap that contributes to it.
I am curious, because you know, my mom swears that she can ratchet down, and my brother and sister tell her that they know her, that she can't. She doesn't have the willpower. That you should ratchet down?
I think it was a mutual decision based on finances, because it's about a $350 differential per month. That's how expensive this crap is. And that's why when I see an ad for it on TV, I want to throw my shoe at the television.
But it's worked for you.
It has worked, but I mean, come on, people, get it manageable.
It can't be free.
You know? I don't want it to be free, but I mean, you know, there are a lot of wonderful products that have done me a world of good over the years, but I don't have to pay that kind of money.
But none of them have done this.
No, you're right. You know,
I'm not on Big Pharma's side.
Believe me, I've tried the old fashioned way, and it sucks. That feeling that I had last night, which was out of, and I'm telling you, the experience is such that if you stood between me and the kitchen, I would knock you down. It was horrible, and I know it's happening. I just don't have any control.
Well, no, then
really weird.
I think it's even more of a reason why. Now you know. Just like anything else, now you know not to do it.
At the very last part of the evening,
yeah,
the goldfish was like, nom, 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 nom. Not a...
Do you finish the box and then get rid of the evidence?
I did one smart thing. I took a tiny little finger bowl, as they're called, the little bitty bowl, and I poured the goldfish in there. Two tiny little bowls. If I had gone to the chair with the carton, the giant cartoon size carton of the goldfish, I might not have lived. I might have been in that situation.
Well, certainly Michael would have been hungry today without a snack.
It was weird. And so, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Live and learn.
Be aware of these things. We have to do that. We'll take a break now, Mac. Thank you. You know, just I need now a good week of nothing else.
Discipline.
That's where there was a birthday party involved too. That was a margarita. I'm a mess. You know that. We had a meeting today. I'm a hot mess. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Timing is everything. Are you looking for a new way to transition from on to off after the workday that won't leave you with a hangover and won't make you crazy like I was, or you're feeling groggy in the morning, enter Dadgrass, the federally legal CBD joints that feel like having a glass or two of wine, but not the whole bottle, like I did last night. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body, mellows your mind, 100% organic pre-rolled joints, very low in THC, very important, and high in CBD. So you can enjoy the effects of cannabis while keeping a clear head, knowing where you are, not taking a wrong turn, not telling your wife to take a wrong turn. And if you're not looking to toke, Dadgrass also offers the finest tinctures and gummies on the market. I love the gummies. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required, and they all leave you in a euphoric mood. I wasn't in a euphoric mood last night. I wish it had been Dadgrass. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Plus, it's TSA approved. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Mac, are you releasing the Kraken or am I?
I can release the Kraken if you like.
Release the Kraken! There it is. I like playing it myself, but I was told I shouldn't. Welcome to the round table, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I was talking about all that throwing up, and I bought my new, I didn't buy it. I got my new throw up sound. I want to see how it goes. It's very short. Let me see if it translates, okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much. That could work for both ends. Yuck.
Thank you very much. How'd you feel after you drank the second can?
Time to change the draws.
Moving right along. There's been talk recently, this is funny, that Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson could actually be brothers. And it turns out that that talk was started by Matthew's own mother, Kay. Kay, I'm coming home, Kay, for Thanksgiving dinner. All right. Matthew says, quote, "We're all sitting around in Greece one night talking to my mom out of nowhere. And a little pause goes, oh, I knew your dad, Woody."
Oh, no.
That is awkward. And she goes, "Just saying, we might have frequented the same similar place out in West Texas one time when he was on furlough." Well, he added, quote, "And we all went, what? Now we got to go do some DNA tests." Apparently, Kay was separated from Matthew's dad right around the time that she knew Woody's father.
That's so ballsy to say to a friend of your son, let alone a famous friend of your son.
I bet they had more than one can. Yeah. That's for sure. I can guarantee you that. So he's out there. You know, it's plausible. They're both that kind of, they've got that vibe.
Yeah, and they get along so well.
They get along and they're great together on screens. So who knows? Uber has a new ad campaign that will be fronted by a psychopathic vigilante. Well, a fake one anyway. Robert De Niro will star in the ads as his taxi driver character, Travis Bickle.
Oh, wow.
You know, the guy who looks in the mirror. Yeah. And goes, you talking to me? You talking to me? The ads are being shot in London this week. I hope it doesn't. It's not clear if they're going to air in the U.S., but I sure hope they do. I don't know. You can't waste this on just a European run. Obviously, they will be available online. A source says, quote, "Signing up to do commercials is selling out a bit." Well, all movie stars do this. I don't think
there,
it is.
There is, if I can give you a little more international flavor to the Uber brand, two things worked in Medellin. Mm-hmm. Apple Pay and Uber.
That's how you got around?
And when you call, I saw someone order an Uber. I said, "Do you guys have Uber?" And I looked at their phone and they, you know, here in DC, they have black comfort SUV. If you need a car with a baby seat, they give you all these options. Right. There, it's very bare bones.
Okay.
But the two options are there. And I saw this gentleman, a friend of a friend that was Colombian, literally hit the button and then a little, what looked like a Yugo pulled up. He jumped in and just rolled out. I said, I guess that's the way they roll here. Right. Why not?
You could probably, you know, hop in an Uber and been fine.
Absolutely.
You know?
I just.
But I tell you, if you know, if Irish Redigan hops in an Uber down there, it's probably going to sound like this, right?
I think you're going to be safe. I just think.
Oscar, come pick me up. I'm in an Uber.
You would be concerned, I think, with the size of the vehicle that is picking you up, as I was when I saw the vehicle pull up.
Yeah, that's why, because that's why it's always an Uber XL for me. Now, and by the way, a Toyota Corolla is not an Uber XL Las Vegas.
No.
Thank you very much. Not. That was a long time ago. But all right, let me get back to my thing here. There we go. I got to press that and hop out. I'm not very good at this. I think I have After Effects.
Oh,
I really do.
I think you're just nice and mellow today.
So they talk about, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to talk about Robert De Niro's expenses because he's been married and stuff. He's doing a commercial.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Will get paid. He did The Intern. That was a terrible movie.
They throw in this story that he made a million, that he, his expenses $1 million a year in alimony to his ex-wife, Grace Hightower. But give me a break.
Yeah,
Robert
He just had a baby.
I think he's fine. I think he'll be absolutely fine. So, the writer's strike that has brought Hollywood to a grinding halt could be nearing its end.
Oh, snap.
Top studio execs reportedly engaged in high-level talks with the union. The warring factions began hammering out a deal Wednesday and are scheduled to end their negotiations today. I don't know what the very latest is because as we tape this, I haven't heard that they've figured it out. This is according to CNBC. The Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers met for bargaining yesterday and will meet again today, according to a joint statement released by the two sides. So maybe sometime this evening, East Coast, we might get an update.
5 months. Almost 6 months, right?
Almost 6 months.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Some of the studio bosses include the CEO of Disney, Robert Iger.
Bob.
Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav, Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos, and NBC Universal Studio Chair Donna Langley. A source told Reuters news agency that the negotiating session was encouraging. You don't hear that.
No.
They don't like to say that unless they are very close. And for people that want content, I think, you know, for everybody included, I hope they get it done.
It's,
you know?
I'm watching Invasion on Apple TV. Apple TV Plus or whatever they call it.
The movie Invasion?
No, it's a television.
Oh,
it's
the series.
Series. You'd like it. And I'm like, all right, when this is over, what's next? And I don't think there's a next. They're not pushing anything that's coming out. I'm like, somebody start making something quickly.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that those of us that you know, when you're not out partying, you live by the magic box.
Oh, yeah.
It's very helpful. So I hope they get it worked out. Now, if I remember correctly, you are a Bob Ross fan, right? You are somebody who watched him growing up.
Yes.
He was an artist, by the way. If you have been living under a rock and you don't know this, he brought painting to the people. His works completed for PBS viewers in less than... Thank you. No. What the hell? That's because I haven't connected. I am so high.
At this point, just answer.
Oh, it's on the floor. God damn it.
My phone's on the floor.
God damn it. My phone's on the floor.
Carla!
No,
what happened? I thought we were going to get some payoff.
Hi. No, I'm not. It's I applied for a HELOC.
They're still calling you?
I don't need it anymore, and they still bug me. You know? I'll give them a plug. Yeah. F you, Loan Depot!
Loan Depot? What?
Loan Depot.
They said no?
No, they said they want to say yes because they want that fat interest.
Mm.
Back to Bob Ross.
Yes, sorry. Please.
PBS viewers less than half hour with little more than a large bristle brush, putty knife, plenty of encouragement, and very mellow, very chilled out. I bet he was high. I bet he was really high when he did that. That's just my opinion.
Why not?
But that is, let me see. It is unlikely he would have envisioned one of his works going up for sale for nearly $10 million.
Oh, my God. I would not have guessed that amount, not at all.
That is the price a Minneapolis gallery is now asking for a walk in the woods. I do think I have a lingering effect from last night. I swear to God. A Walk in the Woods, the first of more than 400 paintings Ross produced for his on-air TV series, The Joy of Painting. It is season one, episode one of what you would call the rookie card for Bob Ross. So it's his first one. Maybe that's why.
There's got to be a limited amount of interest in this.
Ryan Nelson owns the Modern Artifact Gallery. He said of the work created in the show's debut that this could be valuable. It aired all the way back in 1983 on January 11th. Nelson said he was introduced to art through Ross's show, loved his paintings. He does not expect a quick sale, given the high asking price, which he sees as an opportunity to display the painting for a larger audience and put $10 million in your pocket. On that first show, Ross sported a perm, a full beard, and unbuttoned shirt. Stressed that painting did not need to be pretentious.
This just
briefly. Oscar learned to speak English watching that.
Yeah. Los árboles son felices. The type of sale and even the verbiage that comes along with, I don't expect a quick sale, but the right bidder, the right buyer, the right owner, the right keeper of this treasure will come along. That's the same BS that you see on Auto Trader or you see on any Facebook marketplace where it's like, I don't have to sell it, but I just want to see what the market will bear.
Right.
Have you ever seen that? Well, you see a car you like, and then in the description, they tell you everything is great, and they tell you serious offers only because I don't have to sell it. I'm just seeing what it'll go for.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's BS.
Yeah, but
of course they want to sell it.
Why'd you pay Auto Trader if you didn't have to sell it, you rube?
You have to sell it. You're lying. You're lying through your teeth when you do that. By the way, you know that little thing Carla has in the driveway down here that I bought used?
Yes.
You know? I'd like to describe where we are in that car. Hello. We're a little underwater regarding that automobile. Thank you.
A lot of people are in your shoes. Yes.
I always check depreciation and see, and you know, certain cars really fall off the cliff, especially you know, SUVs, they tend to go right down. So I thought for a while there was that market, remember,
where you could it was
trade in a car and there was that high demand.
You could flip them.
Oh, that's gone now, that's for sure. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard of ghosting someone, where you disappear and stop responding to texts. HuffPost just did a big article on something called anti-ghosting.
Oh.
Have you heard about this?
No, I have not. I'm excited to hear about it.
It's easy. It's literally just breaking it off with someone the old-fashioned way, the normal way.
Oh, why would you do
it
that?
It means having the maturity. Why, you're all for ghosting,
I mean,
as far as that.
Just move on.
It means having the maturity to be upfront about your feelings as opposed to vanishing in a ghost-like fashion. Here's an example they gave. You might text the person and say, hey, thanks for meeting up last night. You seem chill, but we're looking for different things. Or you could say, last night was fun. I just think we have more of a friend vibe. So they're giving examples to people who have probably just run away and haven't done that. You know, it's the way we used to break up with people. Come on.
Oh, no, I don't think. Look, this whole term, we weren't any better than this new generation of single people. What we would do is avoid the bar that we would thought we were going to see them at for a certain amount of time, and then that would be it, and they would get the hint, which is another form of ghosting. Here, there's such a direct line of communication that you have to actively avoid them, which is ghosting, to not see them again.
I can improvise a conversation when you would finally bump into that person, and I'll say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you? Doing great. How you been? Fine.
Yeah. But that's when you're like, this is my new girlfriend. You introduce. No?
Cinnamon. This is Mango. Mango, cinnamon. Anyway, ghosting is so common now, I guess it needs its own term that means the opposite. But if saying I got anti-ghosted seems weird to you, here's an alternate. Dumped. I got dumped.
Yeah, dumped.
For anybody that's ever been dumped. Hey, it's always been hard. It's been hard since people have been dating.
Yeah, but it's not harder for the dumper. As people are like, you know, it's harder for us to break up. No, F no.
Mm-hmm.
When your heart gets broken to 1,000 little pieces, that's where the pain is.
It's the pain, but at the same time, if you're doing that, and by the way, I should point out that I have been the dumpy and the dumper at the highest possible level, and it doesn't feel good on either side. It really, really
What costs
does.
More?
The dumper being the dumper.
Yeah.
Dumpy's a little, you know, a little hurt feelings.
Yeah.
Actually, they both cost. Yeah. They do. Everybody knows. Hey, how about that? Hey, America. America, America. They get you both kind of ways.
Oh, God.
F it. There we go. Back in May, Kraft announced an update to the packaging for their Kraft singles because their number one complaint was that it's too hard to remove that thin plastic film. Mac, how do you feel about that?
The plastic adds crunch.
Oh, thank you very much. He's doing shtick.
He's doing a little shtick
right there.
He'll just eat it. He's too lazy to pull it off.
Well, let's check in real quick to see how it's going. Kraft just issued a voluntary recall of Kraft singles to prevent people from eating the plastic wrappers. They say it's precautionary after a temporary issue with one of their wrapping machines. When you remove the wrappers on each slice, a thin strip of plastic can rip off and stick to the cheese. So you might not realize the plastic's there, and you'll toss it on a burger, and the plastic could be a choking hazard, especially for kids. So you got to be careful with that.
And be honest. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you know you ate some sort of wrapper? I can tell you exactly what the last time I did was.
Gum. I ate my Kirkland protein bar.
Okay.
I had a piece of wrapper that stuck mm-hmm. at the very bottom, and I ate it.
You'd rather not get sticky. You eat it. You're done.
Yeah. No, it was just something where it was in my mouth. I kind of popped the last piece mm-hmm. in my mouth, and then I'm chewing, and I feel it, and it's like too late. It's too late, and it's going to be in my belly.
Burger, putting on the grill this past summer.
And you had the plastic thing?
Well, the paper that comes with the burger.
You mean on the bottom? Are they pre-made patties?
Yeah. That you did this with? And I was like, that's a little paper. It's fine.
The one that's a big one for me would be cooking a Thanksgiving turkey and leaving the paper, include the paper bag with all the griblies in there and cooking it. And that was about as nasty as it gets.
Do all sausage casings have to come off?
No, not at all.
Because I guess Latin American sausage casings are so thick.
You have to like peel them off.
You have to peel them off.
If it's a hard sausage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All the times be like, that's a lot of work.
Hard sausage reminds me of that ghosting story we were talking about. Anyway, we don't know if the new wrappers or they were the new ones or the old one. They're recalling 84,000 cases, but only two versions are affected. Packages with 24 slices that expire between January 10th and the 27th, and packages with 72 slices that expire between January 9th through the 16th. Mm. Are you a big Kraft singles guy, Mac?
Generally, yeah. I typically will put a Kraft singles on my grilled cheese, as well as some mozzarella.
Thank you.
That was connoisseur. Worth
it. I appreciate it. And now, finally, a woman in Michigan was in an outhouse on Tuesday. This is the specific reason, and I'll give everybody a warning. This is the specific reason I put this in my soundboard today, because I'm warning you, okay?
Can't wait.
Put down the food. If you're listening and eating something in the car, please don't. Listen to this. The woman dropped her Apple Watch into the porta potty toilet.
No.
She was in an outhouse. I'm not sure why. But what comes next is just insanity. The woman decided to retrieve the watch by lowering herself inside the porta potty.
Oh my God.
It was big enough that she fit down inside, but then she got stuck. She yelled for help, and someone called the police. First responders showed up and found her, quote, in the muck. They removed the toilet top itself and then used a strap to hoist her out to safety. For better or worse, she did manage to retrieve the disgusting watch. Afterward, the police issued a public reminder saying, if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside. I think it was an outhouse. It wasn't a porta potty.
Even worse.
So it was one of those wooden outhouses.
Even worse.
Decades, years of wee and poo.
Oh, God.
Says here, if you lose an item in an outhouse, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. Serious injury might occur. In this case, the woman was not hurt. But she's got the
grip. I don't want to be friends with someone like that.
No, shake hands. Come on now. Hey, why? Stop biting your fingernails. All the jokes. Gross. All the jokes just coming Yuck. Fast and furious. Hooray. Hey, look Yuck. What I found in here. I found my Apple phone, and I found my my plastic cover for my craft single.
Oh, yeah. Was this corn?
It went clean through somebody. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do something. That's what we do here on the Mike O'Malley Show. Hey, everybody. What memories do you wish you could relive or pass down to your kids? Are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels and you aren't sure where to start? We've got the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and the safe solution for digitizing all of your family's precious memories. And by going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 40% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. They digitize over 15 different types of analog media. So whether it's VHS tapes, Super 8mm film reels, or photo negatives, they've got you covered. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer. They've helped over 1 million families relive their wedding days, chaotic childhood Christmases, and even road trips to Yellowstone. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS, and you can save. Listen to this. We don't give this kind of discount very often. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40, count it, 40%.
Mm.
By today, send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS, legacybox.com/TMOS. All right, I want to go to this story that I dug up specifically for Oscar.
Please.
And I don't know with your...
I'm all in.
With your limited, though, desire to speak your original language, I'm not sure whether... this applies to
well,
you.
Well, I had and to speak I had to speak Spanish for 4 days straight, 5 days straight.
Do you feel like you're tweaked up now that it's
yes,
it's doing
absolutely.
Better? So this is from The Observer, and the headline is, I couldn't believe the data, how thinking in a foreign language improves decision-making. Hear me out. As Vladimir Nabokov revised his autobiography, Speak Memory, he found himself in a strange psychological state. He had first written the book in English, published in 1951. A few years later, a New York publisher asked him to translate it back into Russian for the immigrant community. The use of his mother tongue brought back a flood of new details from his childhood, which he converted into his adopted language for a final edition published in 1966. So this is basically telling the story of if you think in your original language or in two different languages, it's beneficial in some way. Do you feel like you've gotten any benefit from ramping up your Spanish speaking over the last 4 days? And I'll try to find other things in this article that are part of it.
I think that you have to actively be engaged because you're thinking in English what you want to translate to Spanish, so you have to take a beat, so you as far as like critical thinking, like your mind's working overtime because you don't want to sound like a fool, you want to say the right thing, and you also have people around you. At least in my case, I was like, all right, let me work this out in my mind before I make a fool of myself in front of other, you know, natural speakers. Now one of the guys on the trip didn't speak any Spanish. And that sometimes that was to his, you know, there was an upside to that because we just had to deal with everything. But it was certainly, I felt good when it happened. I felt like I was a little more engaged in the day. There was actually something that was fairly fascinating with the trip. Most people weren't on their phone.
Okay.
And that's for a variety of reasons. Like, you know, we didn't get our own SIM cards down there. It costs a certain amount of money for the data, et cetera. But I felt like I had an overall broader experience and I was more engaged because I just wasn't on my phone the whole time.
This is one of the experiments they did, Oscar. In an experiment, this research team that was researching language showed participants two clips of robberies from the films The Pink Panther and Rafifi before playing them audio narratives of the same events that contain some false details. Now, this can muddy people's memories, so they begin to incorporate the misinformation into their own recollections. Once again, participants managed to avoid more of those errors when they heard the descriptions in their second language.
Ooh.
It's interesting how, I mean, the ability to have a second language is, I think it's incredible. The fact that you speak two languages is really beneficial. They're doing a deep dive on it here, that by thinking in the foreign language, decision making can be easier.
Oh,
it's interesting, isn't
that,
it?
Because it's very well. It depends on your, I guess, how proficient you are in that second language. But when I was down there, it was very clean. I didn't want it to be opaque of what I wanted and what I was hoping for or what I was asking for.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like, do you have? It was like, I need this.
Right.
Maybe that's part of that.
Well, it says here, in today's increasingly globalized world, many people regularly use two or more languages in their day-to-day lives, yet they may be completely unaware how that may influence their thinking. People need to realize that if they choose to use one language over the other, that will have a systematic effect on the process and outcome of what they do.
Mm.
This is very academic, so it's. I mean, I'm trying to get stuff that are bullet points here.
I think that for and I again, I can't. I don't know how the study is. You're doing your best you can to quantify it. For someone that I'll get idioms wrong all day. When it comes to Spanish to English, because I'll think about them in Spanish and they'll come out completely. I think I said let's pour some fire on that gasoline. Just today, I think I was talking to Charlie in his office just one-on-one, and he looked at me and he's like, I was like, oh, sorry, Mac. I said, uh-huh. You mean, I said gasoline on that fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave that one in, Mac. Don't worry about it. I'm sure no one would care. So it's in the YouTube. Just yeah, really. Take it out of the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's a lot of that because idioms are hard for me. Because I didn't grow up with them. So I'm just like, I'm trying to roll them off my tongue still to this day.
Right.
But, I've dreamt in Spanish before, and that happens at a heavy clip.
Did you like the idea of being immersed again?
Yes. Yeah. I felt great.
Is your brother the same as you are?
So he's so fluent.
Oh, he's old.
He there's almost zero accent. No one's being like, where are you from? Everyone's asking me where I'm from because I clearly have an accent.
Really?
Yeah, but he can get away with it in a heartbeat.
Why do you think he speaks it so fluently and you don't? Why do you think? Because you're
we have a five year age difference where he grew up in Latin America.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. That's so probably the main reason, right?
I was in Silver Spring, Maryland when I was three. And then I learned Spanish from my mom and dad.
Were any of the doctors not good at it?
Just one didn't know any Spanish, but it was okay. To his benefit because then he could just follow along.
Okay, yeah. No worries with that. No problems with that as well. I think that, for me, I've just always thought if I travel to a foreign country, I want, I would love to be able to immerse myself.
It's so much easier now to learn a language because of the apps we have and Duolingo and, as an example, you can learn it. Mac, I believe him when he says he's learning Japanese.
All right. Give us an example of it. I want to hear, before we go to break, I'd like to have just a little taste of your Japanese, if you could.
Okay. So we got Ohayou gozaimasu, which is just good morning. The one I said before, kore wa ii desu yo, which is...
He's studying it. I think this
that's
is
more
just
than
like,
I thought he had.
No,
and I
remember
tell
the last
you.
Time he said the one I did last time, and then he's got good morning. Okay.
Why
hola,
just those two?
Como esta? I've had that for 50 years that I say that one.
Why just those two?
I have like konbanwa.
Excuse me. What?
What?
Konbanwa.
This is a family show, pal. All right.
What does that mean?
It just means good evening.
Konbanwa?
Konbanwa.
Konbanwa?
Yeah.
Do you know what I saw today online? And I know this has nothing to do with what we were talking about. Seiko, I'm a watch person.
Yeah.
They're called mods, where they modify watches. And they're called Seikoks. Seikoks. S-E-I-K-O-A-K. and they make Royal Oaks, but they have Seiko on them.
Oh.
And they are gorgeous. They are beautiful watches with the Seiko movement inside.
Oh, my God.
And if I buy one, my wife will divorce me because I've purchased too many watches already. I went to Costco and I bought a G-Shock yesterday. And Carla said it looked like somebody was landing a 747 on my wrist. I didn't do that well. So we're trying very hard. I would love to do that. And now, I don't know if you heard this. Did I say it on yesterday's show? The number one hit parade for my wife and my son is now Japan.
I didn't know.
That's where they have indicated. You know, we've been talking for the last 1 to 2 years about doing something. You know, if you haven't checked lately, I'm not getting any younger. So, I would like to have a travel experience with them. And
Japan would be epic.
I would love it. I would really, really love it. I just don't know how to put it all together.
You could have a meetup in Tokyo.
Do we have, maybe if we met Joel Rogers over there.
There's a lot of, I can give you I don't have my computer.
We have people that are over there?
Yes.
Really?
Well, when Matt was initially going to go, it was behind the scenes. I remember it was a big deal for me that I was like, you should do a meetup because there are people that listen there and near Tokyo. And is it, what's the city with starts with the no?
Osaka.
Osaka.
Yeah, Osaka and Kyoto as well.
Yeah. So Osaka. So I remember seeing that and I was like, if you're going to be out there, you should try to do a meetup. That'd be great. We all know how that worked out, but yeah. You could actually do that.
I would, I haven't even begun to investigate yet, but, and the one thing when you weren't here, you probably read it online that we solicited for, Iwanaria, and if there would be any interest in that type of
I saw
situation.
On the fan club that people were
going
to go.
Oh, by the way, thanks, Jolene.
What happened?
Go ahead. What? No, she was,
Okay, I saw people that were thinking, they said they'd be willing to have a meetup in Fort Myers.
Yeah, a positive, positive response. But the plan, I talked to my lady over there, and we went there for Carla's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't talked about it in a very long time, and I just think it would be kind of fun to shut the whole place down and make it our place for a night. And that's very, very possible for about 250 to 240 very special. Why are you laughing?
I didn't realize this is for like a live show.
Maybe different than a regular live show.
Yeah, because...
much more intimate.
Isn't it just old people and you there?
What are you talking about? You sound like some of the other... You don't poo-poo this. It's delightful. It's palm trees. It's sunshine. It would be
a
year...
So is Hawaii.
It would be a year from... we're not going to Hawaii. I'm not flying Mac over to Hawaii for this type of thing. But it would be, special.
So you're going to go from Las Vegas to New Orleans
yes.
to Fort Myers.
Well, it's my home.
I mean,
it's my home. And
let's do this. You were unsatisfied in New Orleans. Let's see what happens in Fort Myers.
What I'm saying to you is the novelty of this would be, this is why I was so good. Mac, this is why I'm so glad we did this with Rob when he wasn't here doing what he does. It would be my, come to my
your swan
home.
Song.
My special thing. Swan song.
See
you know the use of speaking of second language.
Yes.
Swan song is like the final dance. Do
yeah,
you know
this
that?
Is what it That's is. What, I can't travel, so come to me.
That's not true. I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to. And by the way.
Bring your oxygen tanks because I'll have mine.
The other. No, stop it. The other option is down the road a piece. But that's
Miami.
Very, or Key West.
Either would be better than Fort Myers.
What do you mean Fort Myers? You come in, you've been in, you the last time you were in Fort Myers, you were in a garage.
Yeah, but, but Mike,
you've got some of the most beautiful beaches in all of the world in Fort Myers,
yes.
Florida.
Has it been rebuilt?
But Fort Myers Beach is not finished by any stretch of the imagination, but there are beautiful beaches. And there's water and fishing and jet skiing and palm trees and dining opportunities to out and watering holes that are excellent. And there's me.
You.
There's M.E. We're running up on a break. I didn't think we'd run late on this show, but now we're running late. We will come back and we'll talk about something else. But I knew he'd do this. I knew it. It would be lots of fun. and you know, and special. And believe me, we make it special, if you know what I mean. Ka-ching, ka-ching. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun. Look, man, I'm hanging by a thread. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Come to Manassas.
Yes. No, that's different. Although I did a bunch in that city. Town. Hole. There's a touch of fall in the air. I just saw Britney Spears wearing a cozy flannel thong while grinding on her stripper pole. It's nearly autumn, and even in the fall sun, you can still burn up like a matchstick. Beware, you need Dermglow. They've got the scoop on SunGuard, the most epic sunscreen in town. I'm wearing it right now. And that's not all. Dermglow's got the whole kit for your skin's A-game. Swing by in person or hop on a virtual skin consultation. Trust me, the transformation is unreal. Hit up DermglowSkin.com and discover what you've been missing. Lightning-fast shipping, global delivery, and afterpay for your ease. Can't make up your mind? Opt for an e-gift card. And be sure to tell them that the late Henry Mancini sent you. Mm. He always relied on Carla to keep his panther extra pink. Zounds. I hope he's not back on the juice. I really, really hope so. I hope he's not doing that. But anyhow, welcome back to the show. The one thing we didn't get to yesterday when you were talking about your trip to beautiful Medellin, as I pronounce it correctly,
nice.
Is the idea of your harrowing cab ride to the airport.
Yes.
Which was a bit of a problem.
The optimal time to leave for BWI Airport, for those of you not in the know, from the Washington, D.C. area, is probably not 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then you may wonder, well, Oscar, I thought you were an Uber guy. I am an Uber guy, but this Uber guy could not find someone to pick him up at 3:30 in the morning to take him to BWI for...
There's the problem with Uber, right? One of the multifold.
Yeah, problems. And you can schedule it, but someone's got to accept the schedule to pick you up at 3:30.
Exactly, and you probably have to do it earlier.
Yeah,
to make that.
So I was able to schedule a cab. Shockingly enough, the cabbie picks me up. It's a BWI flyer, so it's with the airport. I'm like, all right.
I forgot you had to go to that airport to get to Miami. God.
Now, my wife didn't offer to take me, so there's that. Nor was I going to ask her, Mike.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
She didn't want to get up in the middle of the night and take you.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I didn't feel as appropriate, especially for a trip that she was not going on. So I was like,
what time were you wheels up? Were you going to be like dawn, 5 a.m. or something?
6 a.m.
Like 6 a.m. Okay. I got you.
And for an international flight, I didn't want to be late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oscar, you're rude because it was to Miami and then Medellin, but still. I jump in the cab. Guy's on time. I was like, worst case scenario, even if 295, the road going up to Baltimore, is jammed.
Which it won't be.
Who knows? I'm accounting for everything. I just don't want to miss the plane.
Okay.
We're on 295. Traffic looks great. The cabbies kind of looks disheveled, but like, who am I to judge? It's 3:30. It's a pickup. Middle of the night.
Weird. It's a weird time.
Wearing a suit, but disheveled.
He's wearing a suit?
Like a very wrinkly suit, but disheveled.
Right now, as you're telling this story, my political correctness alarm is in the back of my brain going,
thank you.
Nah, nah,
yes.
Nah. And when you say wearing a suit, I think, you know, the Middle East.
No.
Somebody. No.
No. No.
Okay.
From a different land, but not the Middle East. I'll say that much.
Okay.
And I'm from a different land, so who am I to judge?
Gotcha.
I just know
we
that.
We all are,
I
Oscar.
Know this guy. Well, technically, I'm still, you're from the United States. You were born here.
Okay.
I was born in Bolivia. So this gentleman, we're on 295. It's a highway. You're flying. Two lanes, dark. It doesn't get any like kind of like grittier for the DC area.
It is the grittiest highway around the nation.
The beltway is bright. And it's booming, and you can see everything.
But 295, that, now, been there a long time.
Yeah. And he says, oh, my meter's not working. And I said, what? What do you mean? And he said, oh, my meter's not working appropriately. But, you know, I'll figure it out when we get there. Like, we'll figure out the fee. And I was like, Oh, no, 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 sir.
Yeah, you weren't having any of that.
No. So I pick up my phone and I start recording. I said, I'm letting you know right now, I'm going to start recording this conversation on video. Why is your meter not working? And he goes, oh, like, what are you, a lawyer now? Are you an investigator? And I said,
so it's adversarial right away.
Yes.
Are you you're on 295, so you're already rolling.
We're on the highway. And he says his meter's not working, and we'll have to adjust it, the price of the fare that's on the meter. And by the way, the meter already said $20-something dollars. I knew that. I thought it was working.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, no, this is not working. He goes, if we get there, it's going to be $65, and it should be more like $95 to $100. I said,
all right, stop it there, because I want time management here, because I've mismanaged our time with all the talk of language. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we will wrap this up. And Mac, are you there? You go, there you go. You with me, buddy? You there?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I had the volume down.
That's okay. Yep, that's a very good thing to do on a radio show. We'll take a break, and we will come back and wrap this up and the show up when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. Let's talk about Chime. Credit scores might not seem like a big deal, but low or no credit can jam up your financial dreams. That's where Chime sweeps in with its secured credit builder Visa credit card. Millions trust it to power up their credit scores, safely boost your score with everyday buys. And you can make prompt payments and with no annual fees and no credit check to begin. It's your passport to Visa-accepted spots, all while bolstering your credit with your own funds. Level up your credit game with Chime. Seize your financial future. Your credit is a big deal. If you didn't know that, you know it now. So build yours up with Chime. Just open a Chime checking account with a $200 qualified direct deposit to get started. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. On-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Bam! I nailed it. I nailed that
Boom,
today.
Bam!
All right, let's wrap this up. We got a good five-minute segment to do right now. I want to hear you're on 295. He says his meter doesn't work. You say I'm recording this because you think it's hinky.
Hinky.
He immediately gets his dander up and says, what are you, some kind of lawyer?
Yes.
Take it away.
And I said, no, you just said your meter's not working, but the dollars are going up. What's not working? He said, oh, like I just had my car into service yesterday and the guys, you know, working on the car, they always like mess with my meter by accident. So this isn't the appropriate fee that I should be charging. And I said, well, it is moving. So what is it moving to? He goes, well, no, this is so much less money. He goes, you know what? Let me pull over.
Oh my God. On 295?
295.
Oh my God. That's scary. That's scary right there because that is a hinky, dirty,
it's dirty
dark
and it's
road.
Dark and it's just some drunk's about to just smash it. Like I felt it. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I have to reseat the wire to my meter. And I said, what?
Oh
so he
God.
Opens his car door up. I'm hearing like one or two, it's not crazy busy, but whoosh.
Yeah, at that hour.
Whoosh. I said, what are you doing? He goes, and I see him pull the cable out of his meter, like it's plugged in to the dashboard, like that one clip, and then seat it back and then put something and then see another cable, which looked like it was just ready to just be seated. And he goes, oh, the meter should work now.
There, it just went up by $100 increments.
I said, sir, if the meter works that easy, why wasn't it plugged in to begin with? Like, what do you just do? And this is all on camera.
You're having a fight at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. So then he jumps back in. And he starts driving and he's so pissed that he doesn't put a seatbelt on.
Are you watching the meter now? And
I'm watching the meter
at all.
Nothing's changed.
He's just trying to screw.
Yeah, and I said, sir, your seatbelt's not on because it was like boop, 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 and you're driving me. I have my seatbelt on. How about we put that on and then we can continue the discussion as you drive to the airport? And he goes, oh, like every detail counts. And I'm like, sir, I'm just trying to get safely as I'm recording you to the airport.
Are you still recording?
I'm still recording. I didn't care.
You didn't think you were going to be murdered at any particular time.
I just needed that to, I needed it to go to the cloud in case something happened, because that's how people die. So, I said, this is where, you know, don't ever do this at home, kids. I said, does your manager know this is what you do with your cab fares? And
you are cranky. I know you are cranky.
Because you're a cranky Yankee.
This is early morning.
But it is me. And he goes, I'm just, look, I have a family. Like, you have a family. I'm just trying to do what's best for my family. This turns into, like, I'm a family man conversation. I said, sir, we're not talking about our families. We're talking about you picking me up. And in the middle of the highway, as we're plowing down at 75 miles an hour, you say, oh, that, just a heads up, that price isn't the real price. When we get there, we'll settle up. And then I said, I'm just going to pay what's on the meter. And he said, my meter's broken. And then you pulled over and you pulled a bunch of wires, or pretended to, and reseated them and said,
Did you say pretended to?
That's what I said. And pretended to on the side of the highway, which I said personally scared me.
That's when you hear the rubber screech. You get out now.
Yes. And I said, and now we're here and we're 4 miles out of the airport. What are you going to do? Are you going to charge me what's on the meter? Or are you going to make up some other excuse of what's due? And by the way, you can run an estimation of what it's going to cost from your house. I knew it was going to be $65 to $70.
Right.
No big deal. Not $95 as he was quoting me when we arrived.
Okay.
So we get there and it's dead. It's early. Like, it is dead and early. And he said, hold on, I'm going to get my boss so he can tell you, right? And I'm looking.
Like, his boss is going to tell you why it's more expensive?
Yes.
Oh, God, what a dick. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not cool.
This guy, I knew he was bluffing.
Right.
Because I'm recording him this whole time.
Yeah.
So if you look at the video, and I wish I had it teed up, I just hadn't thought ahead of time. You see him go out, go into the terminal, like his boss is inside the terminal. Like, like I'm an idiot.
God.
And he's,
what are you just standing out there?
Me? I'm getting myself out of the cab. I'm not sitting there.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I will pay. I was like, and I look, Panama says, I will pay this man what the meter says, just in case something happened, but I'm not going to pay him $20 more because he just decided to make that up.
Right.
And then he's like, you see, I see him through the glass, like any airport.
Is he talking to anybody?
No, he's just like looking around, like he's looking for his taxi cab boss. He comes out, he goes, you're lucky. He's not at the office yet. I said,
what a dick.
I said, sir, you don't have to cheat people out of money. I would have tipped you for service and the time regardless. I said, I got in. I was thoughtful. I was civil. I was on time. I didn't make you wait. The only time I had a problem is when you started talking to me about a charge that I was not aware of. Bottom line.
What did he say to that?
He goes, see, with your camera and your legal ease, you're always taking down people, and I'm just trying to feed my family. And
here we go.
And I was like, okay. I said, you just can't do this to people. Every one of these, and every one of you guys, I was like, of your passengers has a phone, and I hope you have a little camera inside this, also, you know, viewing,
recording
me,
what was going
and
on.
If there's an issue, let me know.
Right.
I was like, this is my credit card. This is my phone number to text me the receipt, because that's what you do. And that's it. And I got nothing. Nothing. But it was a BWI flyer. BWI flyer. And I knew that's the last time I ever ride a cab in my life.
Uber. Why is Uber done? That's it. We got to get out of here. There's a lesson to be learned. Caveat emptor, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Wow. You know what? Way to go. Get the phone out whenever there's a problem. That's probably what saved it from being more of a meltdown, right?
Saved me from being dropped off in the middle of the street, I'm sure.
Terrifying, man.
295.
Terrifying. What do you think, Judge Judy?
I want you to start absorbing what I'm saying to you. You just want to talk. I'm not your psychiatrist.
Thank you. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new bonus show tomorrow with the whole gang back together. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Ponyboy Matt Bloom, Michael McIntosh, Charlie Burney, and everybody in Washington and Southwest Florida, where the people are all on oxygen. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.